This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Here she comes, that little town flirt. You're falling for her, and you're gonna get her. Yeah, I know it's so hard to resist the temptation of her tender red lips, but you can get her, her. That little town flirt. Here she comes with that look in her eye. She plays around with every guy that goes by. Yeah, I know she's gonna treat you wrong, so your heart just better be strong, 'cause you can get her, her.
Oh yeah, moving around with that little flirt of her, of yours, you can get hurt. Remember that song, Del Shannon? That's a long time back. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you very much for being with us. It is Wednesday, March the 27th. And we've got a lot of things going on here. In a few minutes, Alex Reinauer of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will join us. We're going to talk to him about the tenure of the chairwoman of the Federal Trade Commission. Her name is Lena Khan. And Alex calls her reign disastrous for the United States. So we'll find out what he means by that. Stay tuned. And Robert Kennedy Jr. makes a big announcement, his vice presidential running mate. We are going to take a look at it. We are going to discuss how and if it may affect who can win the White House. So stay tuned for that as well. And did you hear about this? Amazon now says it can bring you your prescriptions on the same day that you order them. The same day. We're going to discuss how the, in general, how the private sector should get back to running our health care. Amazon is a perfect example of that. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we gave you the top 10 happiest cities not long ago. So we're going to give you the top 10 unhappiest cities in the U.S. That'll be towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Gentlemen, if you want the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I have never found a better place than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It is in the Overcash Plaza, beautiful little plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment, please, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, you have any kind of a need that has to do with trees on your public or private property, enhancement of trees, you need trees, you need trees removed, you need stump grinding, whatever it is, call ArborLife. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Get a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All righty, so we find out that Robert Kennedy Jr. has made an announcement as to his running mate. It is a woman by the name of Nicole Shanahan. I have never heard of her. She is a wealthy entrepreneur. He made the announcement yesterday. She is an attorney. I think she's also an athletic type. So she's an interesting person. She's 38 years old. And not surprisingly, she has a long history of donating to Democrats and to left-leaning causes. She had initially, this is interesting, she had initially dropped her backing of Kennedy when he first announced he'd run as an independent. But later, She changed her mind, got behind him, gave him $4 million, or at least gave his pack $4 million. She is the founder and president of a company called Baya Echo Foundation. It's a private firm. It describes its mission as focused on new frontiers in reproductive longevity and equality, criminal justice reform, and a healthy and livable planet. Well, those are all small tasks. Can't see any problem with that, right? Did you know she was previously married to the co-founder of Google, Sergey Brin? No wonder she's got some money. Co-founder of Google? I'd have a few bucks.
She's also a looker, too, yeah.
Oh, she. Now, you can't talk like that,
no,
Ed.
Come
We're
on.
Not allowed to talk like that. Would you say the same of a man?
Well, we got a president and half his cabinet is just because of what they look like.
She is, let's see here. So she had an affair also with Elon Musk, apparently, at some point. She's an interesting person. Anyway, here's my question. Is she going to help or hurt Joe Biden or Donald Trump? My money says that she hurts Joe Biden.
Yeah.
She sounds very liberal and left-wing. So she's not going to help get him conservative votes, right? I don't think so. Also, she's got a lot of money going to help good old Robbie run for a little bit longer than normal.
Yeah.
She's going to back him. Here's what Robert Kennedy Jr. said about her. I want to partner with strong ideas of how to reverse those dire threats to democracy and to our freedoms. I managed to find a technologist at the forefront of AI. She has spent the last decade relying on neural networks, artificial intelligence, and cutting-edge science to identify abuses in our government. All right. He didn't say that, by the way, she ain't going to hurt me with the men because she is a looker. And secondly, she's got a ton of money which I can take and use, which will keep me going for a while. He didn't say that. I said that. Well, we'll see where all of that goes. I'm betting that it's not. I'm betting that that Biden and company are going to try to destroy Robert Kennedy Jr. in the next several months as much as possible. Also, you know, he's not on every state's ballot yet. He's not on every state's
right.
ballot,
yeah.
So he's got to get on these ballots. He's got to do. He's got a lot of work to do. Speaking about who's going to win, here's a new poll. This is good news for Donald Trump in the Lone Star State. According to the Marist College poll, the news poll, Trump leads Joe Biden by double his margin of victory in Texas 4 years ago. Double. And the survey, which was released yesterday, also shows that Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, has a six-point lead over his Democratic challenger there in a key Senate race. Now, Trump carried Texas over Biden by about 5.5 points this last time, even though Biden won the election. That was the smallest margin of victory for a GOP presidential nominee in Texas in nearly 25 years. But now he leads Biden, by 11 points. So that's twice what it was before among registered voters. So I guess he doesn't have to worry too much about Texas. I mean, we were assuming. But remember, Democrats are trying to get as many illegal immigrants into Texas as possible. And change the dynamic of the red state of Texas, right? That's what they're trying to do with these people that are crossing the border in all the states.
Well, and I know Biden's out touring right now and trying to get things ramped up for his reelection. But I got to tell you, it's supposed to help. But I think every day I see him, and it gets deeper and deeper into the hole of how declining he is. I mean, his reading now is just I was at the store the other day, and it's just straight off the prompt.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Then he keeps making up stories again.
He came on to talk about that horrible bridge collapse in Baltimore, and he didn't sound good.
He took a train across the bridge. There's no train that goes across that bridge.
He's been crossing the bridge by train, which is amazing since there are no tracks on the bridge. At least there weren't.
No, there's no problem.
But somehow he got the train and got across. Well, that's the way things go. You know, when you're president, you can do different things. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Alex Reinauer will join us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the chairman of the FTC, whom Alex calls a disaster.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Wednesday. Thank you so very much for joining us. Delighted to have Alex Reinauer join us. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he focuses on things like antitrust, technology, and telecom. And he has a blog on the website, and he talks in his most recent piece there about Chairwoman Lina Khan, who is the head of the Federal Trade Commission, and what he calls her disastrous record there as tenure as chairwoman. Alex, welcome to Freedom Works.
No, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, our pleasure. So most people don't know much about the Federal Trade Commission if you ask the normal man on the street, and even fewer know who Lina Khan really is. Tell us a little bit, first of all, if you don't mind, about what the Federal Trade Commission is all about, Alex, and then maybe we can get into the leadership of Lina Khan. So the Federal Trade Commission in the executive branch oversees what exactly?
Yeah, well, the Federal Trade Commission is certainly a strange monster in our federal bureaucracy. It has two primary functions, one being consumer protection, you know, protecting consumers from fraud, robocalls, and things like that. And then another power of it is antitrust, right, investigating mergers. And there's a really awkward relationship that they share with the Department of Justice, who also has an antitrust division. So that's their two primary problems. But kind of getting to Lina Khan, if you want to see Bidenomics at work, look no further than the Federal Trade Commission. There's a lot of problems brewing at the FTC, and those problems have been highlighted in particular since Lina Khan became chair and was put in control. Just right off the bat, shortly after becoming chair in 2021, she changed the FTC's mission statement, one that had been there for 25 years, and deleted the phrase, without unduly burdening legitimate business activity, which sends a message to American businesses. Not only are we going to burden your legitimate business activity, but we're going to do so unduly. We're going to be excessive. We're going to be disproportionate. And I think that just creates a really bad climate for American businesses who are trying more and more to compete on the global stage.
Yes, and you mentioned in your piece, and again, people can go to the website, CEI.org, and find it, that Kahn certainly had her eye on large technology firms, having risen to prominence for her. It says it's not surprising that she has targeted other industries in the American economy, also like healthcare, agriculture, and even soft drinks. Does she have something against the free market? I mean, what is going on with her thinking?
Yeah, I think it's a big problem is success. The FTC doesn't seem interested in protecting consumer welfare, which is its primary mission. The agency is much more interested in punishing success, because that's what this is really about. When Biden regulators see a business having success, they immediately assume there must be something nefarious going on. And this is just, I think, a general animosity towards American capitalism.
Wow. Well, so she's been... there for what 3 years ago she was nominated. All right, so
yeah, nominated.
Been there since Biden took office. What are some of the damaging things that have occurred under her leadership there right now?
One big is on the rulemaking side, and I know rulemaking is an odd kind of administrative function. It's not legislation, right? They're rules. These don't have to go through Congress. Congress has kind of delegated this authority to agencies, and they can kind of just. Come up with it, and there's some interesting wisdom from Hester Pierce, a commissioner at the SEC, who pointed out earlier this month that a lot of regulators are just thinking, what is a problem? They're not thinking what is a problem we can fix. They're thinking, wouldn't it be cool to have a rulemaking on this topic or that topic? And the most, I guess, expansive rulemaking we've seen is kind of the banning of non-compete clauses in employment contracts. And the FTC doesn't have this authority in the first place, but they're going to try to do it. But even if they did, it ignores the system of federalism where we have state legislators, actually lawmakers, deciding to what extent and in what context should these agreements be enforced. There's a few states that completely ban them. Most states allow them, but in very specific instances. And the states are laboratories of federalism, right? But the FTC wants to literally rewrite millions and millions of employment contracts. And this is going to hurt big businesses, and it's also going to hurt small businesses, probably small businesses the most, because they rely on intellectual property and other things, and other kind of trade secrets that they keep internally. And this is going to just allow bigger companies to come in and poach their most talented people, and small businesses aren't going to be able to thrive.
You know, it seems like these agencies, in general, do more harm than good in the free market. I mean, not just the FTC. I'm not kidding. I even the Department of Education, the FDA, and I know that there are goodly intentioned people in these organizations, in these agencies. But overall, when they get their hand into the free market, I think they disrupt the free market negatively. Generally, they slow things down. They stifle innovation. I think they. What's the word? They intimidate those that entrepreneurs that would want to get into the market and create mm-hmm. new products for us. I think they have the opposite effect. They claim to help smaller companies. Can I say that? Smaller companies are, by trying to break up the bigger companies. In the long run, they're the ones that create monopolies. I remember Milton Friedman, the great Nobel economist that said the only entity that can create a monopoly, if you think about it, is the federal government.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right, and that's there's new studies out on this exploring this, right? That increased regulation actually has the opposite effect of creating concentration, because after you create this long list of rules, pages and pages and pages, and there's more words in the Federal Register than there are in the U.S. Code, right? I mean, it's just, you could fill a building with it. All that paperwork costs money to comply with. It takes lawyers, it takes accountants, it takes, a bunch of employees to do it. And larger companies have the kind of capital in order to comply with that better. So the smaller companies aren't able to hire all those accountants, all those lawyers, in order to comply with these just endless lists of regulations.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that you bring up her attack, if I can use that term, on Amazon, I think it was. she kind of had her eye on Amazon, and it's interesting that she would go after Amazon. Amazon has announced today, and you may know this also, or has announced recently at least, that they are now able to deliver prescriptions on the same day, same-day service. And I say, leave it to the private sector like Amazon to figure out things like that. You know, these are the Amazon's come along. They have figured out a way to get you products, lower priced products, quickly, and now they're going to get you your prescriptions quickly, and yet we go after these companies. We think that there's something wrong with them. You know, there's something bad about them because they're making a lot of money. Your thought on that? Go ahead.
Yeah, you bring up a really important point on healthcare. Amazon is trying to be kind of a new figure in the market, try to shake things up and not only get prescriptions to consumers fast, but get them at a good price. And hopefully that can shake up the marketplace and lower prices and create new innovations in different areas. Not just Amazon. The FTC is going after the Albertsons-Kroger merger, which I mean, they're just trying to compete with Walmart, right? Walmart's huge. They lead on almost every kind of measuring point. And they want to do their best to compete. But a topic that there hasn't been discussed is the healthcare angle, and that Albertsons and Kroger have very kind of modest market share in prescription drugs, and they're looking at Walgreens and CVS, the two big leaders, and saying, hey, maybe if we join forces, we can compete and provide a similar service to them, maybe even a better service to them. So, yes, I think you're absolutely right. Allowing the free market into the healthcare system ultimately is going to drive competition and drive better results for consumers.
And if they allow, I say they, if the government allows Albertsons and Kroger or whoever want to merge, you know what happens? It's a signal to others that might want to get into the business that, hey, you know, we can. The government's leaving them alone. They're allowing them to merge. We can get in. There's a spot for us, and we can move around, and perhaps we can get partners that will help expand our businesses as well. In other words, open the lanes up and allow these people to move along and do these different things. The ones that are going to benefit are the consumers.
Yeah, no, and the FTC claims to love small businesses, but also kind of give the disclaimer, like, well, be careful. Don't become too successful, because if you become too successful, we'll come after you.
Right. Hey, back to Lina Khan. Of course, she's going to be in as long as perhaps Biden is in. Is there, I don't know, why would Biden, you know, go and find somebody like this? What is their thinking? Are they really against stifling innovation and stifling companies? Is there something about we have to take the position as Democrats that that big companies are bad, evil, they're trying to do us in, they're trying to steal the money, they're trying to, you know, do harm? I mean, what provokes Biden to hire somebody like this, Lina Khan, who seems to have, you know, her fangs out when it comes to free market capitalism?
Well, I mean, I think there's general questions as to, you know, how many decisions is Biden making or not.
That's true.
But I think it's clear this is just anti-capitalism, right? This is an attempt to kind of embody like a Soviet-style central planning where you no longer rely on the millions and billions of choices of voluntary individuals engaging in commerce and engaging in contracts, but instead trying to rely on this kind of noble hand of the government who thinks they can just structure the market and make a utopia. But that's just not how it works. The free market has shown over history to bring the most amount of people out of poverty, and it's time that we truly trust the market and get back to our kind of American roots.
Indeed. Alex, I really want to thank you for coming on. I want to salute the blog. Lina Khan's tenure as FTC chair highlights need for reform of the agency. You can go to thecei.org to find it. Thank you so very much. And
thank you.
Hope to talk to you again. Thanks, Alex. All right, sir.
Absolutely.
All right. Alex Reinauer, we're going to take our break. when we come back, well, we talked a little bit about Amazon. We talked a little bit about Robert Kennedy. We got some other things. Oh, I know what we want to talk about. We want to talk about how MSNBC has decided to cut ties with a Republican Party bigwig.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
On a Wednesday. I'm playing musical chairs here in the studio with Ed. I'm trying to find the chair I like. I feel like a midget sometimes sitting in here. Thanks for joining us. I wanted to talk a little bit about NBC. This is really interesting. If you want to find out how one-sided a network can be, you got to listen to this particular story, which I find to be very, very... I don't know what the word is. In one way, it's funny, but in another way, it's sad and maybe a little bit scary. NBC News and their decision to hire and then fire the former chairman of the Republican National Committee. Her name is Ronna McDaniel. They fired her because a bunch of the on-camera personalities didn't like her, didn't like what she brought to their network. And in the span of 5 days, they announced that she was going to be joining them and then decided to cut all ties with her. Here's the deal. On Friday, they announced that Ronna would be joining the Peacock family as a political analyst across all of their platforms, including MSNBC. Well, that opened the floodgates of an on-the-air backlash from the company's biggest liberal stars, including, of course, Rachel Maddow. Then the news group chairman, Cesar Conde, yesterday sent out a memo to his staff announcing that McDaniel was no longer with the network. He said, "I want to personally apologize to our team members who felt we let them down. My team members let me we let down our team members." He said, "While this was a collective recommendation by some members of our leadership team, in other words, to hire her, I approved it and take full responsibility for it." During the chorus of outrage from NBC talent, a recurring theme was their claim that objections to Ronna McDaniel had nothing to do with politics. Here's Morning Joe's Mika Brzezinski, the woman on that show, she said, "We believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage, but it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier." On Joy Reid, you know her? She similarly said it wasn't about partisanship. Listing her colleague Nicole Wallace and Michael Steele, as well as vocal Trump foe, former Representative Adam Kinzinger, and Liz Cheney as Republicans that she approves of. Yeah, they all changed their stripes. They were conservatives at one point, then they became, Michael Steele became a Democrat. At one time, he was the head of the Republican Party. Then they also hire Peppermint Patty. Remember the former press secretary? From Biden's former press secretary, I can't think of her real name. Oh, Jen Psaki. They'll hire her. Are you kidding? And she's not saying things that might be a little bit crazy? So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. It just shows how far to the left and how crazy some of these people have become, to the point now that they're forcing people to quit. Wow, there you go. We've got our master barber, Andrew, with us, Andrew Ceraci. Andrew, I don't know if you had heard about that story on MSNBC. Does it surprise you that they would pull a trick like that?
Well, Paul, first of all, I don't know what they all got worried about. I think Rona McDaniels is three-quarters Democrat.
She might be, but...
That's why they got rid of her on the RNC.
I thought that she was a friend of Donald Trump's.
You know, she's Mitt Romney's niece, buddy.
Is she really?
Yes, sir.
Well, then why didn't they welcome her into the NBC family with open arms?
Well, I don't know. Maybe she's not gay. I don't know. But they should have definitely put her in there because she would have helped them big time.
Wow. Well,
that shows you they're not alert as can be, are they?
I don't know. I know that they Republicans were unhappy with the way things went in the last few off-year elections, and she took the slings and arrows from that.
I'll tell you who I'd like to be this morning.
Who's that?
I'd like to be her attorney.
Yeah.
Because it's my
I think you're right.
It's my understanding she had to find out through the media that she had been fired. And if I were her, I would go to work today with a dumbfounded look. I don't know what's going on. And then act the fool when she gets in there.
Mm-hmm.
And put on a performance that's worth, I don't know, $10, $20 million.
They're going to have to hand her a bucket full of money at some point. That's for
sure.
That's
how crazy.
And she's never even going to utter a syllable on air.
And I would walk by the desks of the on-air people that didn't want her on there and say, I'm going to make about $20 million and I don't have to put one stitch of makeup on.
There you go.
And, right. Well, a lot of them don't. I mean, look at them. But that's beside the point. But,
it's crazy.
So, what
else is going on, my friend?
What else is going on? Well, you see, Trump is up in the polls.
Yeah.
Everybody's yelling at Biden, but, you know, I rode that train across before.
You did?
Yeah, I think I was doing mushrooms like he must have been doing. I don't know, but...
Let me find that story, because I do have a story on that. Here it is. This is funny.
Of course.
Why does he always put his big foot in his mouth? President Biden said yesterday he commuted by train and car over the Francis Scott Key Bridge many, many times, despite the bridge never having any railroad tracks. That must have been a hell of a ride on the train without any railroad tracks. During a press conference yesterday... it's a terrible thing, of course, that major collapse in Baltimore. He told reporters that he had been over the bridge many, many times by train or car. He said, at about 1:30 a.m., a container ship struck the bridge, and which I've been over many, many times, commuting from the state of Delaware, either on a train or by car. He said, I've been to Baltimore Harbor many times. So there you go.
I'm surprised he didn't say he was sitting on the ship with Francis Scott Key when he wrote the Star Spangled Banner, to be honest with you. That would have been better than saying a train was there. That would be believable.
Yeah, it would be closer to the truth.
Well, this guy's not going anywhere. The Democrats are in full panic mode because, you know, John Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr., yeah, he's I got news for you. I think he's going to come up in the polls with the Democrats.
Yeah? Listen, you know about, of course, his announcement of his vice presidential run right now.
Oh, of course. Look, they're both crazy. They're both high-strung liberals.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to pull away from Biden, you know, pull people away from Biden big time.
I think he
is. Conservatives aren't going to vote for him. You know that.
Not with her.
And that's why they are in panic mode. They are going to be so heavy against RFK Jr. in the next couple months, it's going to be unbelievable. But you know what? I think he's smarter than most of them.
Yeah, and you're right about the Democrats. They're in panic mode now, and they're going to throw everything they can at this guy. They are going to try to squash him. Now, I don't think he is on every state's ballot yet. He still has to make a few more states' ballots, does he not?
Well, he'll get them, but this woman's got millions and millions,
yes,
you know.
She has a lot of money.
So he's got the money to back him there.
He does.
So he's not too worried about that. Now he's polling at 13% right now.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you this. If he hits 20%, he's going to get rid of Biden.
Yeah, and you know, they got that crazy Jill Stein, and she's a real wacko. I think she's a communist.
2%, yeah.
Oh, so
how does she get in there all the time?
Well, she's going to pull more votes away, too, from the Democrats. You know that.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to this. You might get a kick out of this, speaking about Biden and company. KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, his press secretary, ended an interview with a North Carolina radio station yesterday, rather suddenly. She was talking with this news director there ahead of Biden's trip to Raleigh. It was on the Brett Winterbly show, I guess it's pronounced. And at one point, she was asked by the host whether Biden has dementia, stating, quote, a number of people he told about the interview requested that he ask her that question. Of course, she called the question, in quote, incredibly offensive, and called out Garrison for, quote, taking us down this rabbit hole. After defending Biden's record, she said, and so I'm not even going to truly, truly, really, you know, take the premise of your question. I think it's incredibly insulting. And so we can, you know, we can move on. So in his next question, he asked her about rising gas and grocery prices. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income, she was asked. She says, look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle class, a working family in Scranton. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out how they're going to pay their bills. You have to remember, when the president walked into this administration, there were multiple crises happening, she said. There was COVID. The economy was in a tailspin because of the last administration, because of Trump and what he left us with. Now you're asking me about gas prices. The president took action on gas prices. Let's not forget Russia's invasion on Ukraine and helped skyrocket gas because the president took it. We are in a different place than we were a year ago. Gas, eggs, milk, seafood, blah, blah, blah. And she's done. And says, and then she says, and with all that, thank you very much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day. And she hung up the phone. And that was the end of the interview. But I thought you might get a kick out of that.
You know what Biden's answer to families that can't, that sit around the table, can't pay their bills at the end of the month? Do what he does. Print more money.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Go down in the basement. We got a little printing press there.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
But, I mean, they are so, such fragility, you know. And nobody wants to say that what everybody can see about Biden, that he's not all with it anymore.
He's done.
He's cooked. He's baked. He's
with
done.
It. He's not even in the area.
He's not even, you know, he doesn't know where he is. I'm surprised he's still able to read the teleprompter. He can barely read
The letters are 5 inches tall, Paul.
Yeah, I guess they are.
It looks like a first grade reading book.
So, good news for Donald Trump. That amount of money that crazy judge lofted upon him to the tune of almost half of a billion dollars has been cut down to about $175 million or something like that.
Yeah. You know, Paul, what amazes me about that, remember Bernie Madoff, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Now, Bernie Madoff screwed people out of billions and billions of dollars, right?
Yes.
You know what his bond was?
What was it?
$10 million.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Now you got Trump that didn't screw anybody over. The banks wanted to do more business with him. Everybody made money. Everybody was happy, and they put $455 million against them.
Yep.
I mean, if the people can't see that this is a setup, Paul, there's something blind. I mean, how can half of the people in this country really be that stupid?
Yeah, I agree with you.
And the Bitcoin guy, that was in New York, too. He was off on $250 million.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And you know, and you don't hear nothing about him anymore, do you?
No.
Either. Right? Not a thing about him. Wonder whatever happened to him.
I know. Well, he's not running for president as a Republican.
But that's right. But even if he was a Democrat and he did that to everybody, everything would be fine. Oh, he didn't hurt nobody. I mean, it's just amazing what a two-sided thing this is.
Yeah.
If the people can't see that the country is falling apart under this Democrat regime, there's something wrong with
it.
I think they need to open the sane asylums in this country again, or the pharmaceutical companies start giving these people all happy pills. because I think most of them are all just miserable, rotten people. They got their hands out with the government, and they just want to sit there and take everything they can and be taken care of like a bunch of little babies, and they cry when they don't get it.
Yeah.
That's my definition of a Democrat.
I think they are unhappy. I think
they're miserable.
I think they're very unhappy with, you know, what's his name on Fox came out with a book, and he started talking with very liberal people, and I guess the premise of his book is, why are they so upset with the way things are? And he came up with the conclusion that for some reason they've had unhappy lives, and therefore they want other people that are doing well to not do well.
Yeah, misery likes company.
Yes. He actually believes that's true with these far left people that want to change the way our basic structure of our country is.
Not for nothing, and I hate to stereotype people, but it really does fit. If you look at your average Democrat, look how they dress, look how they present themselves, look how they take care of themselves, and then watch the average Republican person. I mean, there's two different categories.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. I can spot a Democrat a mile, 50 yards away without even talking to him.
Yes. I think you're probably right.
You're politically profiling people. That's not right.
You are.
Well, I can't help myself, man. It's just the way I will profile till I die. And you know what? When I profile, 99% of the times I'm right.
Yeah.
No, and anybody can do it. I mean, you look at the people today, I mean, not for anything. You look at the average people walking into Walmart. Half of them look like they're being taken care of by the government. You look at the way the women dress. You look at the way the men dress. I mean, I'm sorry. I will not go out in my pajamas and my Jesus sandals.
Yeah,
I agree. To a store.
Right.
Their hair looks like it's never shampooed. They're half shaven. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
I mean, it's just a fact of life.
The sight of a 65-year-old man wandering around in a sweatshirt or a T-shirt and sandals and shorts or whatever in public in the store, I couldn't do it. I thought, I'd never want to do that. Have a collared shirt, have a, nice pair of slacks. Can't you do that to go out in public?
Well, I go in public every day in my shop, and every night before I go to work in the morning, I iron my slacks and I iron my
shirt. Yeah, you dress very well. You really
because
do.
Because I will not be seen looking like a rag.
Yeah.
I mean, I have an image that I want to portray. I want people to look at me and say, this is a nice, clean-cut American man.
Yeah, and
this is not a slob.
That's
what you see. Half of the Americans today are like that.
Yeah.
You look at Europe, you look at the kids the way they dress in Europe, they don't look like the kids over here. They still look like we did in the early 60s. The parents had them dressed nice. The parents were dressed nice. You look at the people today, the kids look just like their parents. The mother's in their pajamas, and so are the kids. Pajamas and a sweatshirt. I mean, give me a break.
No,
you're absolutely right.
I think decorum, I always thought, even in school, that you had to come dressed in a, as a kid, you had to have slacks, you had to have a collared shirt, and in some cases, you had a uniform. And the more I look back on that, the more I think that helped shape
I think the schools should go back to uniforms.
I agree with you. The kids
look exactly the same.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Nobody's got $300 sneakers on.
Right.
Nobody's got a $300 shirt, and they can't wear their pajamas to school.
There you go.
Are we suggesting that people who go to Walmart should wear a collared shirt and dress jeans? And I mean, the reason they go to Walmart is because they can't afford those things. Or maybe... Wait a minute. I'm being serious here.
Okay.
I mean, everybody that shops at Walmart, they're not all being fed by the government.
No.
Then they're not all, you know, deprived in their situation financially. It's maybe all they can make. And how they dress, maybe that's how they dress at home.
Well, it is how they dress at home. But that doesn't mean you don't have to be rich to be presentable in a store.
Maybe that's what they feel is presentable.
I tell you what. I respectfully disagree. I think you can go to the store. You can be presentable. You don't have to have a ton load of money.
That's right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've walked in and said, "What the hell is that?"
Of course.
I mean, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Listen, I can go buy a pair of slacks at Walmart, and I can go buy a dress shirt at Walmart. And you know what? They're going to look just like the clothes that I wear now because they're going to be pressed at nighttime before I come to work, and my shirt will be
starched. You just have to make the effort.
Just because it's cheap doesn't mean you can't make it look good.
There you go. Exactly right.
Maybe
you're lazy. You're just lazy, and you don't want to take care of yourself, and you don't want to look good. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I think, you know, the happier you are with your situation in life, the better you come across to other people. You make a point of doing so.
When you don't try to make yourself look better or do better, that's why you're miserable, because you're not trying.
Yeah. I'm glad we solved that problem.
There you go.
I don't think you're allowed in Walmart if you're all dressed up.
Maybe not.
I go in Walmart all the time, and I always look just like I do anywhere else.
Like Greta says, you can't wear that stuff in here. Get out of here.
I once told my girlfriend, if you want to know how many people are currently in the Walmart store, count all the tattoos and divide by two. Anyway.
It's amazing.
All right.
But this country needs to turn around because we have a bad reputation throughout the world now, Paul.
We need to pick ourselves back up and remember what made us great.
I mean, last week it was disgusting when our National Guard got run over. Yeah. Literally got run over by these illegal immigrants coming. Talk about looking weak. These poor guys got run over.
Yep.
They should have had orders to shoot. And to me, their life was in danger.
Yeah. The newcomers were just looking for a place to work.
No, what do you mean the newcomers? You're starting to sound like that movie V, the newcomers. They're illegal immigrants. Nothing new about them.
I'm warming
the
up.
The newcomers. Boy, they got you convinced already, newcomers.
He's just trying to get under your skin.
No,
Andrew.
I'm warming up for the next 24 hours.
Oh, yes.
The newcomers are coming.
Yeah.
Those are oldcomers. They're not newcomers.
He's talking about our friends on the Voice of Reason.
Those are oldcomers. They're not newcomers.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
But anyway.
It's always a pleasure to have you on, my friend. You always make us feel good. Keep up the fight.
You got it, buddy. All have a good day.
Thanks, Andrew. Talk with you Friday. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, hey, how about this as far as unhappy? The top 10 unhappiest cities in the U.S.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and moving along very quickly. I do want to promote our friends' Voice of Reason show, which will be tomorrow, Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. They are completely different than our show. They're very liberal, frankly, but give them a call, give them a try. Listen to them. Ed Golly and company, good guy. 10 to 11 a.m., Voice of Reason on Thursdays. Ed, before we get into...
I'm heavily medicated.
And Ed gets heavily medicated, and he's there as well. Ed, before we get into our top 10 real quickly, are the Rays finally opening the baseball season?
Yeah, tomorrow night. Tomorrow afternoon, late afternoon.
Late afternoon, and who are they playing?
The Toronto Blue Jays.
Are they here?
Yep.
Okay, so the baseball season begins tomorrow.
Yep.
All right, here we go. All right, let's get over to our top 10, and these are the top 10 unhappiest cities in the United States. It comes from Insider Monkey. For their list, they considered the emotional and physical well-being of the residents, their income, their employment, the community, and the environment of each city. So here we go. Number 10, Akron, Ohio. Akron is the 48th unhealthiest city. The residents also face an unhealthy industrial landscape, a cloudy and wet climate, and poor entertainment outlets. Jeez. Other than that, it's a great place
to
live.
Trifecta.
There you go. Number 9. Mobile, Alabama. You ever been there, Ed?
No.
Mobile, a city in the state of Alabama, ranks 9th.
Hot, sweaty.
On our list of unhappiest cities, it is. It has a depression rate of 21.6%. And it also has a bad health care system, and it is hot and sweaty there. Number 8. Another place that's hot and sweaty is not far away from it, Jackson, Mississippi. It is the poorest city in the entire state of Mississippi, which says a lot because Mississippi is also the poorest state. It has a poverty rate of 32% and an unemployment rate of 7.7%. Number 7, right next door, Gulfport, Mississippi. One of the top 5 cities with the lowest income growth, an unemployment rate of 7.5%. Don't they have casinos there?
Where?
In Gulfport?
I believe so.
I think they do.
Yeah.
All right. Number 6, Birmingham, Alabama. That's a big city. It's the biggest city in Alabama. Population density of 1.4 million per square mile. Some of the lowest sleep rates in the U.S. Must be very noisy there. Third highest separation and divorce rates. Well, no wonder they're separating and divorce. They're not getting any sleep, for God's sake. Number 5, Toledo, Ohio. Toledo has a depression rate of 24.4%, also ranked as the 18th unhealthiest city. All right. Number 4. Poor Ohio. They got another one there. Cleveland. They always made jokes about Cleveland, you know? Cleveland is not a safe city. Violent crimes are more than 3 times the U.S. average. Property thefts are more than double. Plus, they have a cloudy and wet climate. All right. Number 3. Speaking about hot and sticky, Shreveport, Louisiana. Third unhealthiest city in the U.S., according to the World Health Report. Hot and high humidity. And they also have a risk of natural disasters with hurricanes. All right. Number 2. Hey, I worked there for a while here. Montgomery, Alabama. Montgomery has one of the lowest sleep rates in the whole U.S., according to the World Health Report. It's also the 6th unhealthiest city in the country and has staggering high crime rates.
30 seconds.
And finally, what do you think's number 1?
Well, it's either in Ohio or the South.
Well, you were closer with Ohio. It's Detroit. High populated city, high density, violent crime. So common, the business owners afraid to even open stores in the city.
Jeez.
There you go. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back Friday. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm Steve Kathan. Federal investigators have recovered the black box on the cargo ship that hit and destroyed Baltimore's Key Bridge. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy on CBS Mornings.
It will provide us with a number of parameters.